Thank you guys for coming up here. Do you guys know what this is used for? Offerings, offerings. You guys know what this is? This is an offering basket. This is, what goes in here? Well, connection cards. Look what else goes in there. Can you look in there? What else is in there? Yeah, money, offerings, right? The offering basket, the offering box, right? Why do we give offerings? Why do we give offerings at church? Like, why do we put money in the offering baskets or the offering box and give it at church? What do the offerings get used for? Yeah, to help more people learn about God. Yep. Right here, it helps support our teachers, our pastors, our staff. It also provides for, if you look around, this is a pretty beautiful building, right, that we can come to and gather in and hear about our Savior and His love for us. Also, keep the light on, and pretty soon, I don't want to say it, but keep the heat on, right, because it might get cold here. But yeah, and some of the money also goes to share God's word, not just here in New Ulm, but across the world. At school, sometimes you have a mission offering, right? Now, why do we give offerings? Why do we give offerings? What's in our heart? What's in our heart? Faith, yeah. We trust in Jesus, and we're thankful for everything He's done for us. What are some things that Jesus has done for us? Yeah, He died on the cross to pay for all of our sins, and He rose again. And guess where we get to go? Yeah, heaven. That's pretty awesome. And so when we bring an offering, we're saying thank you to Jesus for everything He has done for us. And then all the wonderful ways that the offerings get used too. And this is a wonderful blessing from God to be able to do it. So let's pray and thank Jesus for this blessing. Dear Jesus, thank you for all the gifts you give us, most importantly for the forgiveness of sins you won for us by sacrificing yourself on the cross. Help us as we worship you to give cheerfully and generously in thankfulness for all you've done for us. We praise your name. In your name we pray. Amen. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, your brothers and sisters in Christ. What are the key components to a good harvest? Now, your minds might think, well, having quality seed, or having properly prepared soil or good soil like we have here in southwestern Minnesota. Or you might think the appropriate amount of moisture, whether through irrigation or rain. The Apostle Paul this morning tells us it's much simpler than that. The greatest indicator of a great harvest is how much seed you put in the ground. For instance, if you didn't put seed in a field, you wouldn't expect to get anything from it. But when you put seed out and you put all of it out there, you have the best chance of a great harvest. And so it is with our gifts to the Lord. The Apostle Paul encourages us in our giving to the Lord and to others with these words that we read today. And we'll see we're enriched in every way by He who supplies so generously in trust and thankfulness, so generously, and see the harvest blessings God gives to others and to you. The words of 2 Corinthians 9. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way, so that you could be generous on every occasion, and through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This is God's word. So generously in trust and thankfulness. Paul wrote to the Corinthians because they were gathering an offering to help out the needy brothers and sisters in Christ in Jerusalem who were struggling and suffering, most likely due to a famine and also probably from persecution they were suffering. But God's people have always given. They've always done this type of thing. They've given to the Lord. They've shared with others, going all the way back to Cain and Abel, offering some of the product of the flock in the field. Noah, when he came off the ark, he built an altar to the Lord, sacrificed some of the precious few animals who had come off of the ark to the Lord. Abraham was willing to give up and sacrifice to the Lord one of the things that was the most important thing to him in life, the son he had waited for, Isaac. And from the time of Moses on Mount Sinai up until Jesus suffering death and resurrection from the dead, God placed on his people the training wheels of the Mosaic law to show them very specifically when they were to give, how they were to give, how much they were to give, what amounts they were to give, and at what times of the year, so that they were bringing sacrifices of animals from their flocks and slaughtering them and putting them up on the altar, giving them to the Lord for sin, for forgiveness for sin, for thankfulness, a thank offering, or a fellowship offering. They were to give a tithe or 10% of certain amounts of the wealth that God had given to them and bring them to the temple as well. But in all of these things, and even today, what does God care the most about in our gifts? He cares about the heart. And it's always been that way. Think of Cain and Abel in Genesis chapter 4, and we're told about the gifts they gave. You can picture the Sunday school materials and the picture that is there, and you see the, you know, Cain on one side before a little altar, bowing before the Lord, and Abel on the other side, bowing before a little altar, and the smoke of Abel's offering going up right to heaven, but the smoke of Cain's offering going up a little and then going way off to the side, showing that with the spirit which Abel offered the first fruits of his flock, God was pleased with his offering, but Cain's not so much. God cares about the heart. Under the Mosaic law, even towards the end, as God had put his people into captivity and brought them back, and they rebuilt the temple, and they were starting, you know, they were worshiping at the temple again, but then, you know, God had to chide them. In some instances, they were skimping on their offerings to the Lord. Instead of bringing the best of their flock, they were bringing the blind, the lame, the diseased, and God had to call them out on it because he knew where their heart was at. He said, would you offer these to your governor? I'm God, I'm the great king, and you're offering these things to me? And then there were times where they were bringing good, big offerings to the Lord, but the Lord said, I will not accept these, because he knew what they were doing. They were giving to the Lord, but then they were also worshiping idols and giving offerings to idols as well. And God said, no, God has always cared about the heart. Now, what about our offerings? What we are to give to the Lord? In these New Testament times, since Jesus has fulfilled the Mosaic covenant and in all those laws, we have great freedom. There is no tithe demanded of us. There's no 10% of this, 10% of that. In fact, God gives great freedom in your gifts to the Lord, that you decide. He says each one of you should decide what to give to the Lord, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And so I don't demand a certain percentage or an amount from you. I can't say that. That's not what God has said in his word. But each one of us get to give to the Lord, and cheerfully, not being forced to, not being pressured to, but cheerfully to the Lord. So generously in trust and thankfulness. How do we do in this, though? Why is it so difficult for us sometimes, though, to give generously and cheerfully to the Lord? It's like at the worst possible moment, our sinful nature, our old sinful nature, which we try to kill and put to death, rises up at the last moment as we sit down and we're about to electronically give, or we're going to write out that check or put money in the offering, and we kind of got what we're thinking, and we want to give this to the Lord, and we know what God has done for us, but then at the last moment, all of a sudden the opportunities come into our mind, or the responsibilities come into our mind. We think, you know what, there's that thing that everybody has, and it seems to make them happy, and I really want that thing, but I haven't had enough to get it, so I'm just going to, you know, half this offering, or maybe I'll just skip this one. so I can get that thing that will make me happy. You know, the opportunities. Betraying a selfishness and a greed in our own hearts. Or, you know, we look at our offering, we're about to put it in, and we just go, you know what? I mean, you know what the economy is doing these days, and so much is uncertain, and you know what's going to happen with this, and so we skimp on the offering, or we pass by it, betraying our worry and our fear that God can't or won't provide for us. And how foolish this is. Sin is always foolish, but yet it creeps up and it tries to attack us and rob us of when we want to give cheerfully. Maybe you've had the experience where the offering basket comes by and you pull out your wallet or your purse and you will quickly thumb through the bigger bills. You maybe don't go to the smallest bill, but you kind of pick one in the lower middle and you give that to. Why do we slip into sowing sparingly when God gives us every reason to sow generously? It's so frustrating. This should be our joy, our cheerfulness, but we just slip into this. How amazing it is how God gives. Really, in comparison, because you think of it, did God skimp? Did God sow sparingly with us? No, God always cares about the heart, and what does God's heart say? He spared nothing when it came to you. He didn't just care about your heart, he cared about you and redeeming you. He gave up what could be more valuable than his own only begotten son. Multiple times he says, "This is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased." And yet he offers him up to help you and me. And maybe did he have second thoughts or decide to pull back or skip when, you know, the crowds of people were rejecting him, trying to orchestrate his death, and then having him put on trial, and then convicting him, throwing liars up there, and then convicting him, and then sending him on to the Romans, and pressuring Pilate to have him put to death, and not just put to death in an awful and shameful way on a cross, exposed for all to see. Did God say, you know what, as they're chanting, crucify him, and then mocking him on the cross, did God say, nope, I'm done, and walk away? No, he gave. He gave his son even into death, because he was making him suffer so that he could win you and me, that he could have you and me for all eternity. Jesus suffered for our selfishness, our greed, our worry, our fear, our skimping, our passing by. He gave so generously, he gave everything. Though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. And that is what we are. Where are we going when we die? We're going to heaven. Why? Because we're so good? No. But because Jesus earned it for us. And he died on the cross to pay for all of our sins. If God was willing to give his own son to win us for eternity, why would we ever doubt that he is going to give us everything we need in this life? Especially when he promises it in his word. So generously, brothers and sisters, in trust and thankfulness for who our God is and what he has done for us and all we have coming. The Corinthians wanted to give. They did. They were some of the first to say, we're going to give this offering, we're going to help our brothers and sisters in Christ. They knew that the gospel came out of Jerusalem, out of all that happened there, and Pentecost was there, and then the gospel spread throughout the world, and they knew it was because of them that God used them to bring the gospel to their hearts. So they knew what they had coming. They knew the full and free forgiveness that Jesus gives, and they wanted to give. But what happens in life, oftentimes we get busy, other things come up, we get distracted. And so Paul writes this letter with such great encouragement. And he sends a delegation. He sends Titus, and then he sends a couple other brothers to encourage them in this gift that they had started and to finish it, to complete it. They needed a friend to encourage them, and so God gives us this friend today to encourage us with these words and to sow generously and see all the harvest blessings that God brings for others and for even for ourselves. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you will need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, they have freely scattered, this is a quote from Psalm 112, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor, their righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You'll be enriched in every way so you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. In that one verse, it's just he just piles up the word all. All things, all times, all ways, every good or all good work. You're equipped. You've been given everything you need. And sometimes we think, oh, this is for someone else, or that's for the rich to give, and the people have no problems, no worries, and no problems like I have, and I don't have that much. But no, each one of you, this is the blessing. Each one of us has been blessed with everything we need, proportionately to what God has given to us to give planned and thankfully to our God and to others. So generously, and see the harvest blessings that God gives to others through you and that God gives to you. He's enriching you in every way, at all times, so you can be generous on all occasions and trust that he's gonna provide. And he says the righteousness, your righteousness endures forever. Enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. He's not talking about someone else. He's talking about yours in Psalm 112. That this is the heart of the believer that has been made righteous, credited with Christ's righteousness. At our baptisms, Galatians 3, as many of you as were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. This is how God sees you. This is how God treats you as his beloved child. Doesn't look at the sin. He's forgiven that. He looks at you as his beloved child, righteous in his sight. And then as you let this show, that righteousness pours out to others. And you are an example, you are a witness. And God brings thanksgiving from all of this as you give to him and you give to others. The thanksgiving that arises. See the harvest blessings that come from others. When you give an offering here at God's house, oh, the wonderful ways it's used. I mean, the truth in love, the love of Christ, the love of TLC, the love of Christ Fund that our members give to help those who are in need. And you should see their faces when we're able to help a member who's hit hard times or difficulties, and just their thankfulness that their brothers and sisters in Christ provided this for them. Who does that? But you do. What a testimony to God's grace and the thanksgiving that arises, or the mental health needs, the counseling that we can refer people to and help get them started on that. And the people are so thankful because they needed it because they're just in that bad spot. The offerings you give at this congregation are used to support the work of sharing the gospel. Supports caring for the needs of your ministers and your staff. And for that, we say thank you, Lord, and thank you, God's people. What an awesome thing God has done to have this giving and giving back and forth with God's people as we share the gospel, as we're provided for. Just a cool thing God set up. So it's constantly on our mind and constantly this cheerful giving and rejoicing and thanksgiving in return, all to God. And what a beautiful place we have where we can sit and hear God's word together as a family of believers, where we can encourage one another, where we can invite others to come and worship with us and hear about the full and free forgiveness Jesus has earned for them, and they have an eternity in heaven waiting for them. The mission offerings, some of the gifts we give go to missions. What an awesome thing. In the Wells Connection a few weeks ago, we saw that in Vietnam, there is a seminary that's been completed, 55 graduates. That's more graduates than graduated from our seminary here at Wisconsin Lutheran Seminary. But going to serve the needs of those 100,000 believers in Christ with the pure doctrine of the Bible, which many don't have, but you and I have. And the rejoicing that came from Vietnam, and maybe you didn't get to hear it, but that video was trying to communicate it to you, all because of your mission offerings. My grandfather served as a chaplain in the Vietnam War, and he went over there for a few different times, and he came back, and when he was teaching his classes, he said, pray to God that we win this war so that we can share the gospel with these people because they so desperately need it, how awful it is there. And we didn't win that war or conflict. But what did God do? He opened up a door that a seminary could be built and these believers could be served, and many more will come to hear about the free and full forgiveness that Jesus has won for them and for us. And the 100 new missions or enhancements that we're trying to do stateside in our congregations here in America, you look on the Wells website, WELS.net, and you look up call report, and you can see the different churches that are opening, and that more people will get to hear of God's word and forgiveness through these offerings that we give. And the money we give to support our school, St. Paul's Lutheran Elementary School, or Minnesota Valley Lutheran High School, or Synod Schools, Wisconsin Lutheran Seminary, Mequon, Wisconsin, Martin Luther College, right here in New Ulm, our two preparatory high schools, Luther Preparatory School in Watertown, Wisconsin, Michigan Lutheran Seminary High School in Saginaw, Michigan, And we see the next generation learning in every class the wonderful good news of what God has done for them, and learning the certainty of the scriptures, so that when they go out, they know that the Bible is true, the inspired, inerrant word of God, which not many or not enough hold to today, but they go out in their lights wherever they go as they proclaim this. And what a blessing God gives to each and every one of us. Maybe you each have your own story of how God has blessed you as you've given to others or given to the Lord, making fulfillment of what Paul has promised here. When I first got here, and I was sitting before worship and visiting with one of the ushers, and for whatever reason, he tells me that early on in his life, and he was in his 70s, early on in his life, he said, you know what, my wife and I were trying to start this business and things were pretty rough, but we both sat down and she said and I said, we're going to give our gifts first to the Lord and we're going to trust him. And then he recounted how the Lord blessed him, blessed the business, blessed their lives all the way through, and how richly and abundantly he gave to them. What a wonderful witness. I don't know why he told me, but he told me. Then a member who's still living today, who when I thank him for something he does for the church or something he gives that I know about, I don't know what he puts in the plate or I'm not privy to that, but he said, I'll thank him, and he said, it's all God's. It's like the money, my tools that I made this stuff with, my own body, it's all God's. God enriches us so wonderfully. As we sow generously, he enriches us in every way. So sow generously in trust and in thankfulness. And sow generously and see the blessings, the harvest of blessing God brings in the lives of others, in our own lives as well. In Jesus' name, amen. For our stewardship, we think of the blessing of our Lutheran Elementary School and the support that's been going to that. And our school principal and staff write this. They say, St. Paul's School fosters faith, promotes godly lives, and delivers excellent Christian education. Your support through prayers and financial gifts is greatly appreciated. Thank you. Our new facilities, revamped in January 2021, provide a fresh start and more opportunities for Christian education. With our highest enrollment since the year 2000, we feel truly blessed. Thanks to your ongoing support, we've reduced our current loan steadily. We invite you to seek the Holy Spirit's guidance on additional gifts alongside your church offerings. In phase three of the school campaign, we aim to gather $1.75 million, and we're praying for small and large gifts to help reach that goal by next October. And attached is a video put together by the students and the staff and the faculty of St. Paul's Lutheran School saying thank you and showing the blessings of the newly renovated school and also the addition of the preschool.
Preschool to our grade school, welcome to St. Paul's Lutheran School. Enjoy a tour of our new building renovation and addition, where we learn that we have been renovated and made new each day. Welcome to the new. Got to live right, just stay in line. You've heard it all at least a million times. Like we do believe it. They said it wasn't worth but trying harder wouldn't hurt. It sounds so crazy now. Back then you couldn't see it.
Here you are. I was on the way. It's like a secret. Hit the road like that. For the first time. Oh, it's making it all first to the world. You were purchased because you're worth it. Yeah.